Roger Oval, it's 11:19 on the Saturday morning that you're going to shoot your last wedding, and you've just stopped for breakfast. What did you have to eat?
I had a sausage roll, but a real sausage roll, a roll of bread with sausages in it, rather than a pastry with sausages in it.
So it was one of these white rolls, wasn't it? You know, not a brown one, white.
It was white and it was warm and it was crispy and it was freshly baked. So that was very nice. And a cup of tea.
And a cup of tea, right. And you had it in a little place called Ballyvourney, right?
Correct.
So we're now down to the last half hour, aren't we?
We are 100 yards away from the road opening up and the trees vanishing and a double lane for the traffic. Be in Kerry. For some reason they've got wider roads in Kerry than we have in Cork in this part of the road. It's quite remarkable. I love coming through that bend and out from those trees, because the trees enclose this rather narrow road and you're in this tunnel, and it's like coming out of a tunnel. It is like coming out of a tunnel, and then you come out and there's fewer trees and the sky and the road is wider. It's quite an experience, quite a pleasurable thing actually. Equally, when I go back, I kind of like going into the tunnel again. I like being enveloped. It's almost like being enveloped by County Cork coming home. So when I go out, it's like County Kerry is welcoming me with open arms because it's open and bright. And when I go back, it's like Cork, County Cork is enveloping me again. I'm one of them.
So you're a man of mood change, I get the message, and your mood is being improved by the landscape and the road through it, is that right?
It's being influenced, I'm sure it's being improved. It's being improved in the sense that I know I'm nearing my destination in time to photograph the wedding. That always lifts me. There's always, I think, the tension until I'm there. There's the tension of I might not get there on time for my client.
Are you feeling tense right now?
I am.
About what?
About the day ahead. It's like that anxiety, that anticipation of doing a good job. And that won't subside until I've taken the first photograph that I know is meaningful. Once I have that, then that anxiety slips away and I'm just in my world. I'm in the world that I almost feel I belong in my mind.
You're a typical artist in that respect, I think. I can think of innumerable people who have said something almost exactly the same, that once they get on the stage and they say their first word or they make their first action, then it's a different world. Up until then, they can feel sick as a dog in their stomach.
Yes, stage fright. I don't know. I suppose it's a mild form of stage fright that I have. And
do you think of yourself as an artist with stage fright, or do you? What do you think of yourself as?
No, I don't think of myself as an artist at all. I think of myself as a photographer. It winds me up when people who are photographers eschew the phrase photographer because it's not good enough, or artist is somehow better. So I consider myself a photographer. But
are you a photographer craftsperson, or a photographer artist, or a photographer creative, or a photographer journalist? What are you?
The last two, I think, fit very well. I'm a photographer journalist first and foremost. My job is to document what happened. And I try and do that in aesthetically pleasing a way as possible without calling myself an artist. I've had long debates about the difference, but I think going down that route, you attribute too much to yourself.
Okay, I'm going to interrupt your train of thought, because I can get your philosophy as a photographer from you on any other occasion if you like.
Yes,
right?
You can.
What I can't get from you is a precise description of what you did before this wedding. So far in the previous podcast, or the previous part of this epic series of audio recordings, we found out that you went and you had a chat with the bride about a month beforehand. What actually then happened next, Roger, in the process of getting ready for this for this wedding.
Okay, then we fast forward to 2 days before the wedding.
So you carry on with normal life. You forget about this wedding that you're going to be doing.
Yes.
Right up until 2 days before.
Correct. Now, the only reason it's 2 days before is because I had a wedding yesterday, so I had to prep two weddings. Normally, I leave it till the day before, unless there's maybe some complications with the wedding. Sometimes there's an issue has arisen during the conversation that needs to be resolved, or a piece of information that I need to have, and I wouldn't leave that until the day before the wedding. I'd make sure I had that piece of information beforehand. But normally speaking, I have all the information I need, so then it's just a case of making sure that I can do my job properly from a technical point of view, that the cameras are working, that the cards are
okay, clean. We'll do technical one second. I got to ask you one other question we did.
Yeah.
You don't ring up the bride the day before and say, are you going to back out?
No.
Right.
No.
Right.
And on that, I've only ever once had a phone call from a groom, and that was 3 days before the wedding, explaining that the wedding wasn't going to happen. That's only ever happened to me once. So it's a very rare occurrence.
Right. So back to the technical preparations. Give us some details of the detail of how you prepared for this wedding.
I shoot with two cameras, and I make sure first and foremost that they're...
Can you name the cameras and everything you're going to say?
Okay. Name the cameras I use are a Canon 1DS Mark II, which is a big, heavy camera, very robust. About seven, eight years old, and it shows. It's been through the battles. I have a 5D Mark II as well, which is a much lighter, much smaller camera. So they both get cleaned. Specifically, the sensors get checked, because in digital photography, you can get hairs or marks. Well, not marks, but dust on your sensor. So I make sure that the sensors are as clean as possible. That is my
So you're like a golfer cleaning his or her golf clubs.
Yes, but where I think a golfer who's cleaning their golf clubs probably does it with love and care and enjoys the process, I absolutely loathe having to get my sensors clean. It is a very tiresome, boring, horrible, frustrating task.
You do it yourself?
Yes, I do it myself.
You don't hire an assistant?
No. I need to make sure that they're clean the way I want them clean. They have to be... Listen, It's actually a process and a ritual I go through, and it is part of the preparation mentally for the wedding as well. So I need to know that the work has been done. It's almost as if I have a mental checklist and I tick these things off. So I clean the cameras outside, I clean the cameras inside. I make sure the autofocus...
What do you clean the cameras with? What kind of equipment do you use to clean the cameras?
The outside I clean with a highly sophisticated, cut-up old white T-shirt. And the interior, in terms of the dust and what have you, I use brushes.
Is the white T-shirt made of cotton or linen?
No, it's a cotton T-shirt.
Cotton T-shirt,
yes,
yeah.
Yes.
Egyptian cotton?
I don't know. I doubt it. What's my train of thought now? Oh, yeah, so I'm cleaning the...
You've got an old T-shirt.
You've got
an old camera and an old T-shirt.
Yeah.
And I
make sure the batteries are charged. Now, for a wedding like this, the batteries I have, I don't need the additional battery packs, but I just make sure everything is charged. I also make sure that my flash gun batteries are charged. I don't use flash usually, certainly not when I'm doing the documentary photography. Occasionally I need the flash when I'm doing the group shots, and that's the only time I use it. Other than that, I don't use the flash.
And is your flash made by Canon?
They are, in an equally pitiful state, having been used so much, but they work, they do the job, they're pro-spec gear, and so they're all primed and checked. What else? Then I have two bags with me. I have a bag with backup lenses. Every lens I have has a backup version in a camera bag in the back of the car.
Do you go to your car to check that the bag is still there?
I have regularly, I was going to say on occasion, but it's not on occasion, been half a mile from my house on my way to a wedding, pulled the car over, even though I know all the gear is there because I put it in there not 10 minutes before, just to make absolutely sure that I have it there. I'm a little bit odd that way. I suppose it's just the mental mindset of just wanting
What's
to be
that called? Is that called compulsive disorder?
Quite
a very
possibly.
Mild form of compulsive disorder, is it?
Yes, quite possibly it is.
Yeah. I think almost anyone who goes on stage has those kind of things.
Just make sure that you are actually wearing trousers, yeah. I have a second bag. I have a much smaller bag which is the one I actually have on me, and that is also packed. That has a cleaning cloth, backup batteries, spare empty cards.
What kind of cards do you use?
I use a combination of two types of cards. I use compact flash cards, ranging from 2 gigabytes to 16 gigabytes. The 5D Mark II, to get technical, takes 1 16-gigabyte compact flash card. The 1DS Mark II takes a 16-gig compact flash card and also a 16-gig SD card for backup. So that camera is actually backing up while I'm shooting, and that is a great security to have built in, because all the images from that camera already exist in duplicate. The images on the 5D Mark II, which only has one card slot, only exist in one place until I've done my backup back at the office, after which they exist in multiple places.
Now, all this equipment you're mentioning, you know, you this is what you use now. Mm. But I'm also interested to know whether, you know, you changed your equipment along the way as a documentary wedding photographer. Did you? Are there any? I don't want you to go through all the changes of equipment you've had, but, for example, is there anything particularly significant about the fact that you're using Canon equipment rather than Nikon or anything like that?
There's two reasons I use Canon. Not ironically, because I believe Canon make better cameras. I actually believe Nikon make better cameras. The reason I don't use Nikon cameras is they do not fit my hand and my physique well. The ergonomics actually are painful for me to use. Now, whether that's because over the years, of many years of using Canon cameras, my hands have become conditioned that way, I don't know. But the long and short of it is, I can't use a camera if it's actually physically going to hurt me to use it, even though it might be a much, much better product. So that's one reason I haven't switched to Nikon. The reason I've stayed with Canon is, the cameras aren't the best. Some of them are. But, you know, they are very, very good. And there's also an element of brand loyalty. My first proper camera that I was given was a Canon camera, and that was 25 years ago now, something like that, 27 years ago, as a teenager. And I loved that camera. I really loved that camera. That was a lovely camera to use. I can't say the same about modern cameras. Modern cameras lack soul, but back in the days of film, which gives you an idea of how old I am, cameras were things that you could bond with, and it's very hard to do that with a digital camera these days.
Are you generally brand loyal?
I'm not going to take the invitation.
While he's thinking, there's a Topaz fuel lorry in front of us, a long vehicle, and I'm not sure whether he's pausing because of the question or whether he's wanting to keep gingerly away from the fuel truck.
Well, no, he's inviting me to overtake, but the oncoming traffic, I'm not very good at judging how quickly they're going to arrive at the spot where I am. So, and now there's a bend, and he's inviting me to overtake before a bend, and I'm not that keen on doing that because I don't know what's coming around the bend. Brand loyalty was your question. In fact, there's a car, so had I gone? I don't know. I suppose to a degree I am, although I'm very critical of Canon. I'm critical of Apple, but I still use the products. So I think I would switch if there were better alternatives. But as I say, at the moment, I haven't found a better alternative to Canon. Yes, Nikon make better cameras in my opinion, but I can't use them.
Okay, so look, I just, that's good. Go on, say a bit more about the, you get all these cameras, you clean them up, you check all your cards, you check all your flash guns, you check all your bags. I haven't asked you who makes the bags, but we'll assume Canon make the bags as well,
no,
do we?
No, they don't. The bags I use, one is a lower pro bag, the other is a bag. It's a lens, it's a shoot sack. It basically, it's just a bag with pouches that the lenses go in. Now, the lenses I use a 24mm prime lens f1.4, a 50mm prime lens with f1.4, and very occasionally, and I can actually see myself using it today, a 135mm f2.0 Canon lens. Those are the lenses I use.
So you just slipped in a bit of information there about I can see myself using that today.
Yes.
Now today is a day which looks to me like a lovely bright sunny day.
Yeah.
Is there anything about the light today that's in your head informing what you're going to do?
Yes. People come up to me on a day like this and there is barely a cloud in the sky. It's gorgeous. It's a fantastic autumnal day in Kerry. And they say, oh, this is good for photography. Actually, it's not necessarily the case. There is no such thing really for a documentary photographer as good and bad light. The light is the light. Today, the shadows on people's faces are going to be very harsh. So if it's overcast, it's like photographing in a big softbox and the light is very soft and you don't get shadows on people's faces. Today, we're going to get harsh shadows. Now, what we're also going to get today is challenging light, is exciting light, because it's so bright. That means that there are going to be places where there will be pools of light and dark shadows and what have you, and you can use that to great effect. It's trickier, it's challenging, but it's also, in a way, more fun. Get it right, find a situation developing in a shaft of light and you have something special. So I'm kind of agnostic when it comes to light, but I'm looking at this light today and I'm thinking, well, there'll be those patches of light, there'll be those instances where something will occur and all around will be dark except this one patch where the action is, and you can get some very, very dramatic shots that way. Also, you can shoot into the light as well and get some quite dramatic photographs. Of course, you can't do that if it's overcast. The other thing is the church is a very dark church anyway.
Oh, we haven't talked about whether you've ever seen this particular church before. Have you?
It's one of my favourites.
You've been there before?
I have, yeah. I'm very, very pleased. It's not my favourite church, but it is one of my favourite churches, and I'm very pleased that on my last wedding that I'm actually shooting there.
Now, what is it about the church that makes it a favourite for you in relation to doing your job?
Okay, well, there are two things about it that are good. One is the layout inside makes it very easy for me to move around unnoticed. Now, I only move when other people move.
Does that mean it's a big Gothic church with sort of big pillars that you can slip around behind?
That's the other thing about it. The other thing about it is it's quite a unique design. It's a very modern church. And it's... is it an octagon? I forget. But it's a very modern church and it has a big window behind the altar that looks out over a mountain range. Now, that poses its own problems, but just as an aesthetic, it's lovely. It's a modern church in a beautiful location, and it has architectural features that are just very appealing.
It has no pillars? Internal pillars?
It has a few. It has a few, but they're not camouflage. The camouflage in this particular church is the fact that away from the window, the lighting is quite murky, and I'm wearing a brown suit, so I blend in a little bit.
Oh, do you match your clothes to the place that you're going to, or do you match your clothes to the wedding?
I match my clothes to the wedding. And the only decision I have to make is, like, today is a regular wedding, it's not a black tie. If it's black tie, I wear black tie to blend in. Today is a regular wedding, so I wear colours that are muted. I don't wear oranges and reds that kind of colour because you can see those very easily.
So you dress like a member of the Secret Service who is kind of protecting the president, and you fade into the background?
No, because if you notice, the people who are protecting the president are far from fading into the black background. They are very